Good. And if you're someone who, by the way, likes to follow the outline, if that's helpful to you, they are now on the back of the bulletin. So, new place, don't let it confuse you. If it distracts you, don't look at it. But if it helps you, please refer to it there, and there are pens and spares available. So yes, we started thinking about kindness in the neighbourhood, and we started thinking about that together because an aspect of God's character is that God is kind. And indeed, it's through His kindness that He draws people to Himself. I hope you remember how I challenged you at the end of last week to go out into your world, wherever that takes you, praying this prayer: God, help us to see what you see, hear what you hear, and smell what you smell, and help us know what to do. And I suggested that this week I was going to give you an opportunity to tell us what happened. So it's over to you. Alaska's really keen. You can't see, but she wants to get out here. So what happened to you through the week? While you're thinking about it, let me tell you about Shane. Shane is the pastor of the Mandarin congregation. He was just sharing about the backpackers ministry, and we were talking about it. And some of you will know that Shane in China was trained as a child and a young person in ballet, think Mao's last dancer. So Shane came to Australia, and he, as part of the backpacker thing, they've had people in their home. Well, he had some gay couples in his home. And Shane said, now, you know my background, and I encountered gay people a lot in my past. My wife has not. And so Wendy's eyes were like saucers as these gay couples came into their home. And yet they just shared kindness, and they had amazing conversations. And Shane said, well, I'm a pastor, and I believe in the Bible, and I can't, support your lifestyle, but you are welcome. And they fed them and they did stuff. And they've had two couples. And as one couple was leaving, one of these girls came back to him and said, and this is a Taiwanese girl, I thought they were from mainland China, but Hank corrected that, and she said, can I give you a hug? Now, I'm working out a bit of culture here, I'm still new to this, but I kind of worked out that not all Chinese people are really hugging people. I'm really culturally adapting. Anyway, this girl, she said, Pastor, can I give you a hug? And she came back to him and gave him this hug. It was an amazing thing. Another of the couple came to Christ as they shared over their mealtime. Amazing things come out of sharing kindness. What happened to you? Anyone want to share something? Just stand up, loud voice. Doesn't have to be dramatic. Reality is most of our lives aren't that dramatic, are they? Did anyone do it? Awful, ominous silence.
I'll share.
Come on, Doreen.
I've had a particularly
big voice, turn around.
I've had a particularly trying week, which has brought me to tears. But I thought, well, there's only one thing I can do, and that is just hand it over to the Lord. So I simply said to the Lord, I can't handle this anymore, and I found a lot of things. That's the way it goes.
So thank you, Doreen. God's kindness towards Doreen. Anyone else had an opportunity to pray that prayer and walk in their neighbourhood? And just think about it. See things differently. Derek?
I heard of a good idea. It's not mine, and I didn't do that. Because I think in your normal life, I hope most of us are giving acts of kindness to
everyone that we meet.
But I heard on the radio, who's heard of what they call it now? Suspended sandwiches. Yes. Suspended coffee. They explained it the other day, and it goes like this. Yeah.
If you frequent a coffee bar, you go to the coffee bar owner, providing he's willing or she's willing, and you say to them, I will have this sandwich or this item and this coffee. You pay for it, and then you walk away without getting it. You leave it for someone else.
Ah, yeah.
At the coffee owner's discretion. And this has gone on. It's an act of kindness that you're relying on the coffee bar owner to give to someone who is in need, or they think needs a kind act done to them on any particular day. And they suspended things, build up. Let's hope the coffee bar owner gives them away.
Amen. Let me add to that. When we were in Perth at the Alliance Council, I was telling Johnny about Les Mis. He was going to go and see a movie. Johnny's the leader of the Hmong congregation. And he was going to go and see a movie, and I was telling him all about Les Mis and how a central theme to that is the kindness of God, the undeserved favour of God. It was grace versus law. And so Johnny is... there, Johnny's early for everything. I don't know if you ever noticed that. But he was early and he bought his ticket and he's just sitting in the foyer waiting for the movie to start, and he was just thinking about the movie he's about to watch and the message of it. He went back to the counter and said, I want to buy a ticket for the next person who comes. So they said, no, you can't do that. I said, yes. He said, yeah, I'm going to buy the next ticket that comes. Don't tell anyone who did it, but I want you to say to the person, this is just a free gift. And he said, I have no idea who got it. I have no idea what happened. But I just hope that that simple act of kindness, as they were watching this movie, they thought, man, that happened to me. Let's pray together. Father, you are indeed kind. And Lord, I just want to pray that you would open our eyes constantly to the reality of your kindness in our lives, the extent to which you in your love reached out to us. It's just overwhelming. And as we think about the kindness we have received and the opportunity we have to give kindness in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you by your Spirit would quicken our hearts, it would stir us to faith and to action. And Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 10 as we continue to explore this theme even further. We talked about this story Jesus told last week, but let me read it for you. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbour? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have made." Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This expert in the law that approached Jesus, he came simply to test him, to catch him out. I knew you weren't a rabbi after all. I knew you weren't right. That's all he was seeking to do. And in the context of his test, he quotes from the ancient Israel scriptures, the Old Testament, from Leviticus 19:18. "Love your neighbour as yourself." Now, Jesus causes us to think about two aspects of this Old Testament declaration. And indeed, for us to understand what Jesus means by challenging us to acts of kindness in our neighbourhood, then we need to think about this. We firstly need to think about what does it mean to love. Simon Holt argues that the words "you shall love" were a call to a relationship of responsibility. Now it's interesting because more often than not, we think in terms of love is, I love you and I get something back. But no, love is a relationship of responsibility. It's something we actually give and it's really interesting because in the Hebrew Bible, in each case, it's better translated to be of use to. So to love one's neighbour is to be beneficial or helpful to your neighbour, as you would like them to be to you. To act in a kind way, just as you would like to receive kindness. What about our neighbours? Well, who is my neighbour? Who should I be beneficial or helpful to? To whom should I show kindness? Now, this was a really important question for the Jews in Jesus' day. Like us, they found themselves living in a pluralistic context. You had the Jews, you had the Samaritans, you had people from the surrounding nations, and you had the Romans. And in this context, the Jews, in an attempt to preserve the racial and religious purity of their community, maintained clearly marked boundaries. And so for them, it meant a neighbour meant it just took on this sinister edge of exclusivism. For them, they would say, "Who is my neighbour? My fellow Jews. People just like me." Now, of course, we can do exactly the same thing, can't we? Who is my neighbour? People just like me. But Jesus challenged this approach. He challenges the idea that neighbours are people just like us. In fact, he turns that whole thinking on its head. A neighbour is someone who acts in a kind way towards someone in need. That's the heartbeat of the story. Who acts kindly, regardless of who they are or what they have done. If I see someone in need, I have an opportunity to be a neighbour. The story Jesus tells oozes with kindness. The Samaritan in verse 33 took pity on the man. It's a beautiful word. This word pity means a deep feeling of sympathy, compassion. Obviously, as the Samaritan looked at this man who was bruised and battered, who had been robbed, within himself, his heart just felt the pain. And indeed, while that is where kindness begins, the reality is it means much more if we are going to be serious about kindness in our neighbourhoods. Let me suggest three things. Firstly, kindness will require action. Did you notice in verse 34 how the Samaritan went to the man? His feelings were quickly translated into action. A neighbour is a person who not only sees, who not only feels, but who does something. The priest and the Levite, they saw. And I love the way Luke records Jesus' story. They saw the man. It wasn't as if they, you know, walked around and thought, oh, I didn't see that. Oh, was there someone there on the road? No, they saw him. And they intentionally walked on the other side of the road. Have you ever done that? Don't answer. No, not so the Samaritan. He actually did something. A neighbour is a person who sees, is moved with compassion and does something about it, regardless of who the person is or what they have done. Remember last week? Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Samaritans and Jews did not have anything to do with each other. Samaritans and Jews would be quite happy to see one of the or the other of them lying on the road, bruised, battered and bleeding to death. There was no lost love between them. And yet, here it is, the Samaritan went to them. Interestingly, according to the Jewish definition of neighbour, the priest and the Levite should have gone to this man. Because who were their neighbours? People just like us. And here it was. A Samaritan went to him. It took action. Kindness in the neighbourhood will take you out of your comfort zone. Verse 34, he went to the man. He stepped outside of his Samaritan religious cultural world and actually went to a Jew. Something, as I just said, didn't happen in that world. In John chapter 1, John records for us and tells us how Jesus came into the world and dwelt in the world. Theologians call that action of Jesus the incarnation. God, eternal God, clothed himself in our humanity. God walked the earth as a human being. That's the incarnation. Missiologists, as they have reflected on the incarnation, have taken this a step further and have commented on how it is that God didn't expect us to go to him. God came to us. And in that action of God, they see a real model for us as we think about mission. We should not expect people to come to us. We need to go to them. And missiologists call that incarnational mission. And think about this for a moment. Jesus stepped out of his comfort zone. Yes, Jesus is the Creator God, the God who made heaven and earth. But he stepped out of the glory and the beauty and the holiness of heaven and stepped into our world. Our sin, sick world. I love the way the Message paraphrase puts it in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. That's what Jesus did. And kindness will will call us to stepping out of our comfort zones. I haven't told you before, but and it's not conclusive, but the evidence suggests that I'm actually the great-grandson of a convict. So that's my heritage, part of the Australian colonial history when convicts were sent out from England. And it was an interesting part of Australia's history. And on one occasion, missionaries, I think it was early Methodists, wrote back to England. And this letter was written in 1814. And they were reporting on what was going on in Australia at the time, but the heartbeat of their letter was to request that more missionaries would be sent from England to Australia. Listen to the description of Australia in 1814. In the land which gave us birth, England, right? In the land which gave us birth, we enjoyed the privileges of the glorious gospel. Here, Australia, we may truly say the people sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Around us on every hand we see ignorance and profanity greatly abounding. I know the language will be difficult for some. Nevertheless, sin and its consequent miser, like an overwhelming deluge, overflows the land. We cannot but feel for our fellow creatures, degenerate and depraved. And then he goes on, we feel for ourselves as situated amongst them. Yes, kindness in the neighbourhood will take you out of your comfort zones. And sometimes it may even feel like you spend your day living in a garbage can. But that's what Jesus did for us. We see also in this story that Jesus tells kindness in the neighbourhood will cost you. In verses 34 and 35 we see how the Samaritan responded to this man sacrificially. Did you notice the language? He used his own clothing for bandages, disinfected the man with his wounds with his own wine, soothed them with his own oil. He placed the man on his own donkey, paid the innkeeper with his own money, and he used his own time. For the Samaritan, it was a very costly exercise. Yes, kindness will cost you. But as we think about this, let me just highlight for you two dangers. And the first is that we can forget that kindness is about the other person. Several years ago, Kerry and I were contacted by some old friends, and they said, we'd like to come and catch up with you. And we thought, oh, great, we hadn't seen these people for years. And it's no one you know. So don't go thinking, was it Derek and Marilyn? No, it wasn't. Was it Roger and Helen? No, it wasn't. And so they came, and we had a lovely dinner together, and we were just, how's this, what's happening there? The normal catch-up stuff. And suddenly, in the middle of the conversation came this, oh, we've got a business proposition. You've had these conversations, haven't you? A la Amway. And it was just, Kerry and I just looked at each other and we were devastated. It was just, I'm not knocking anyone who sells Amway, but we were devastated. It was just the most horrendous experience of our lives. And we felt so used. We felt like, hang on, these guys weren't actually interested in us. They just wanted to make a sale. And we can do that. We can forget that kindness is actually about the other person. Yes, we have a burning desire to share the gospel. But there's a reasonableness here to think about the fact that if God is kind, kindness is a reasonable end in and of itself. I just love the way it's recorded in Mark chapter 6 with Jesus. Jesus has sent the disciples out. You know, Jesus is getting really tired. He's tired at this stage of the game. He sends the boys out. They have great ministry. They come back, they're tired, and tired as well. Mark records it beautifully. Jesus says, let's go away by ourselves. Let's get away from people. Yeah, people bombarding you 24/7. No, let's get away from people. We need a break. And so they get in a boat, they go to be by themselves, to have some me time, to use modern language. And as they land at the other side of the water, the lake, Mark records it beautifully. He looks at the people and Jesus is moved with compassion because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus is saying, man, I needed the break. I need to spend some time with the boys. But these guys, it's about them. Jesus never forgot that it was about the other person. We see it in Romans 9 and 10, Paul's heartbeat. The language is phenomenal. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, my heart's desire. Paul never lost sight of the fact that these are people who have need, people who have been bruised and battered because of sin. And indeed, we need to just simply share kindness. The danger for us, friends, as we think about kindness, is that we use kindness as a means of hitting someone around the head with the Bible. And let me say to you, it never works. It never works. The second danger is that we can forget that being kind is only part of the story. Ed Maxey was a missionary of a past era in the Christian Missionary Alliance. And Ed and Shirley Maxey went into West Papua, Irian Jaya as it was known back then, West Papua, not long after World War II. About a decade after World War II. And it was quite a people movement going on among the Dani. And one of the biggest churches in the world at that time was among the Dani tribes people in West Papua. And Ed had gone to another area in the Baleen Valley and an area that hadn't received the gospel. And Ed had gone and he was trading fishing nets and axes and all this sort of stuff. And he'd been building relationship and showing all sorts of kindness towards these people. And after a few years, the leaders of the tribe came to Max and said, Ed, we want your axes, we want your fishing nets, we want your medicine, but we don't want your Jesus. Ed's reaction was he just collapsed to the ground and cried. And these tribal elders were kind of standing there, and part of their culture is to embrace the brokenhearted. And so these men just came around Max, sat in the dirt with him, and cried with him. And as the story unfolded, it was that action that opened up a wonderful opportunity to proclaim Jesus and to see people come to know Jesus. Yes, we need to be mindful that being kind is only part of the story. Because the Bible is clear, we have all sinned, and as a consequence are objects of God's wrath. And God's loving act of grace in the person of Christ was not simply to give the prodigal son, if you remember another story that Jesus told, it wasn't simply to give the prodigal son better pig food or a more comfortable pigsty. No, the point of the story that Jesus told on that occasion was to rescue the son out of the pigsty and to bring him home. Turn with me quickly, and we can do this very quickly, to Titus. Just want to demonstrate something here. Titus chapter 2. And Paul is writing to this church leader, Titus, and he's encouraging him to pass on certain teaching. And in chapter 2, he works through, look, tell these people to do this, tell these people to do that. He's responding to different groups of people within the church. And what I find really interesting is he's calling them all to live a kind life. For example, in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, he's saying... he's getting the older women to train the younger women. And then he says, then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. Now listen to his rationale. Why do it? Why do this stuff? So that no one will malign the word of God. Verse 6, he talks to young men. Do this, do this, do this. Listen to what he says in verse 8. So that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Verse 10, well, verse 9, he starts talking about slaves. Listen to, he gives instruction. What's the rationale? Verse 10. Do not steal, but to show that they can... so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. Isn't that a beautiful verse? You think about what you do through the week. Do I make the teaching about God attractive? Yes, kindness is an end in and of itself. But kindness makes the teaching about God attractive. So the dangers are for us is to go to one or the other extreme. To just be caught up in doing kindness and oh yeah, yeah, I'm just doing kindness. There is a point in time where we need to share the gospel. Yes, we do kindness. And yes, we're willing to open our mouths and share Jesus. Let me finish with giving you a beautiful illustration of all that I'm trying to share this morning. Some of you will know the story of Pandita Ramabai. Pandita Ramabai was a high caste Hindu, I think she was a Brahmin sect in India. And her parents died, her husband died, and as a consequence, she was trained by her father uniquely to pursue, to search, and she actually knew the Hindu scriptures better than many of the other priests. And she embarked on this journey, this life of search, and in the course of the journey she came across the Gospel of Luke, and as she read the Gospel of Luke, she came to Christ. And she started a mission called the Ramabai Mukti Mission, and the aim is beautiful. It's to change the lives of destitute and abandoned Indian women and children through a range of initiatives that demonstrate in a practical way the love of Jesus Christ to the mainly Hindu and Muslim nation. And some of the stories are just both heart-wrenching and beautiful of the early days of the Mukti Mission. Pandita Ramabai said this: a life totally committed to God has nothing to fear, nothing to lose, nothing to regret. My friends, we sit here this morning because of the kindness of God. And as Jesus said to that young man who was simply there testing him, which one showed mercy? Who was the neighbour? Go and do likewise. The challenge is for us to go and do likewise. Let me pray with you. Father, I just want to pray for the people around about.